This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today, because this is the last Friday of our winter break, and it is known that there will be a lot more youth in the audience today, and so we decided to talk about women, specifically for the men, the danger of women, meaning staying away from women. And we begin with this verse in Surah Al-Imran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that what has been made attractive to people from the love of desires, and then Allah azza wa jal mentions and lists a number of things that people desire in this world. So the first thing Allah azza wa jal mentions, he says, an-nisa, women, and then he mentions children, and then storing heaps of gold and silver, in other words, money. And horses, or for our times, cars, and cattle, and cultivated land. Those are the enjoyments of this life, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most excellent return with Him. So the first desire that was mentioned, and undoubtedly the strongest desire for men, will be women. And this is also confirmed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari through Usam ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not left any fitna, any test, trial, temptation that is more severe, more harmful to men than women. And the scholar said, this is not just speaking about strangers or women who are not your mahram, meaning not your relatives or your wife, but and unless they are righteous, even the wife can be dangerous. And how many stories have we heard, and how many times have we seen with our own eyes that a wife will manipulate her husband until he stops giving his mother any money or any assistance, until she goes out and begs in the streets, or she starts working in people's homes, or a man who will not speak to his sisters for years because they don't get along with his wife and she doesn't want him to speak to his own sisters, or stepchildren, that a man will kick his own child out of the house because he doesn't get along or his wife doesn't like them, and all these kinds of things. So, or the mother herself, and how many times have we seen in our lives that a man divorces his wife or can't get along with his wife because of his mother and the manipulations. So obviously, and it's unfortunate that we have to make disclaimers like this, but this, we're not talking about all women being like this, and we're talking about those who are not righteous and how they can be a strong temptation and a strong test for men. So it is the strongest fitna, no doubt, the strongest temptation. Yet we are very relaxed with that. And we have our youth and we put them in the worst place in the world that we could possibly put a child. And that is an American public school. And don't try to convince me after the khutbah. In my mind, there's no place on the planet worse than an American public school. We put them with these other children or youth who are amoral, not immoral. What's the difference between amoral and immoral? An immoral person has a moral compass, a sense of morality, but they don't act upon it. An amoral person doesn't even have that. So we put them in these, for lack of a better term, relaxed atmospheres, and then we expect that, you know, there nothing is happening to them. So we're very relaxed with this issue, with the temptation of women, and we're very confident with ourselves. But the righteous before us, they didn't behave that way. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, he was a young boy at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had a, later on, he becomes one of the great scholars, and he had a servant known as Nafi' al-Daylami. And Nafi' himself becomes one of the great scholars of the Tabi'een. Nafi' says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to a door in the masjid, and he said, we should leave this door for women. So Nafi' says, Abdullah ibn Umar never ever entered nor exited from that door until he died. So from a young boy until, and he lived up to 100, and he never once, even if the masjid was empty, walked in from that door or left from that door. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, we leave it for women, obeying the Prophet ﷺ and the fear of the strongest temptation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the salah, he saw the men and women from the companions walking back home, and they were not talking to each other or joking or anything, but they were just walking. There would be a man, and a few steps behind there's a woman walking to her home, and the Prophet ﷺ said, we should, the men walk in the middle of the road and the women walk on the edges, on the sides of the road. And from that point on, they said the women would walk so close to the edge of the road that the walls would snag onto their clothing. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said, I would never be alone with a woman, even if it's to teach her Quran. So we have a righteous man and a great scholar, the level of al-Hasan al-Basri, and he wouldn't even teach her Quran, and he wouldn't be alone with her to teach her Quran. And today, compare the things that happen in our lives. Listen to what Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, said. He said, بَلَغْتُ 80 عَامًا وَأَخْشَى عَلَى نَفْسِي فِتَّةً لِسَاءً. He said, I've reached the age of 80 and I still fear for myself, the temptation of women. I'm still afraid of that, even though he's 80. And then this is the real point. He said, وَمَا أَيِّسَ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الدُّخُولِ عَلَى الصَّالِحِينَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَابِ النِّسَاءِ. So he said, and the shaytan has given up trying to enter upon the righteous. Yani the shaytan couldn't find a way to get to the righteous except from the door of women. Yani through the issue of women, the temptation of women. That's the strongest thing the shaytan has against the righteous, not against the normal people, the laymen. And that's why the righteous were very cautious in their dealings with women. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, the imam, he used to sell fabrics, so a lot of his customers would be women. And he would tell his students and he would tell people working for him. He said, if you describe the size of the shoe of a woman, that means you have described her foot. And he would teach them fine, refined manners that probably don't even exist today. He would teach his student, if a girl, if a woman gets up from a seat, don't sit immediately behind her, because of you will be sitting on her warmth. Things like this today will ridicule. What does her warmth do? Anisha, so what? But he would tell them, don't sit on her warmth. Wait till the seat cools off before you sit down. And where are we from these types of etiquettes and manners? A righteous man by the name of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, he went out on the day of Eid. And when he returned, his wife asked him, كم من امرأة حسنة نظرت إليها اليوم ورأيتها. How many beautiful women have you looked at today and seen? So he tells her, way haki, ما نظرت إلا في إبهامي منذ خرجت. He says, may Allah have mercy on you. I didn't look at anything besides my thumb since I left. يعني, what does it mean? يعني he's occupying his eyesight, looking at something. He's looking at his thumb from the whole time, since I left from you until I came back. lowering his gaze. A righteous man, a known individual, but he's very careful, very cautious with something that we're very relaxed with today. And we're not just addressing the youth and the single brothers, but we're addressing the single and the married as well. And even if you're married to four, it doesn't matter. يعني the scholar said, لو أن رجلا تزوج بنساء بغداد جميعا. If a man marries all the women in the city of Baghdad, ثم دخلت عليه امرأة من دمشق. Then a woman from Damascus enters upon him. لظن أن عندها ما ليس عند نساء بغداد. He will think that she probably has something that the women of Baghdad don't have. And even though they're all the same. And that's why the scholars here in this context, they said, whoever is not satisfied or sufficed with one woman, will 100 women would not suffice them or satisfy them. And they're just always looking, always hungry. So single and married are in the same boat. We belittle being friendly with women. We belittle chatting with women. We belittle texting women. Yeah, and let's play a fun game. Everyone unlock your phone, hand it to the person next to you. Let them look through your messages. How many people would want to play that game? How many people, for them, death and their wife grabbing their phone are the same thing? Because of al-balawi al-zarga that are in that phone. So, Imam Ahmad narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. And beware of the محقرات الذنوب means the minor sins. Beware of compiling and piling up the minor sins, not the major sins. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ حَتَّى يُهْلِكْنَهُ. That they gather upon a man until they destroy the man. So they will pile up until the man is ruined, or the woman in this case. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ says it's like a people who are traveling, and then they stopped at a place, and they started to gather twigs or branches to start a fire. So this man grabs one, and this one grabs another, this one grabs another, and then they light a fire. What's the size of that fire? And it started with little ones, but it became a huge fire. And that's exactly what the warning is. Beware of piling up your minor sins, because they will pile up until they ruin and destroy a person. And the others, and scholars added to that, they said that it can also, the minor sins will eventually and inevitably lead to the major sins. And other scholars said, an extra point, that the minor sins can become major. Due to what? Due to belittling the minor sin, not giving it any weight, not caring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. When it becomes just a normal part of life and it's not even a minor sin in your mind, that belittling it can lead it to become a major sin in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه قد أفلح المستغفرون. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So of course we're not suggesting that everyone has to leave public school, but we're reminding ourselves and everyone that we need to be very cautious and keep a distance from the opposite gender, for men and for women, not to be so relaxed, not to chit chat, not to have phone numbers. Even if we're working for Allah Azza wa Jal, Muslim student associations, everyone will have everyone's number and they will chit chat and there'll be discussions outside of working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the solutions, of course, and we've dedicated an entire khutbah to this in the past, lowering the gaze. You lower your gaze like a champ, meaning you put serious effort into it and you will not even feel the fitna. The other solution, the famous one from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you're not able to get married, and in some cases even if you're married, what will help you? Fasting. Fasting, but how many people fast? The young man that we're the most proud of fasts Mondays and Thursdays. You go to public school and you fast Mondays and Thursdays, you think it's enough? Well, if you fast every day, it's not enough. But every other day is what we're suggesting. The most beloved of fast to Allah Azza wa Jal, the fasting of Nabiullah Dawood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. And رُبَمَا here doesn't mean perhaps, but it means indeed that there will be a time when those who disbelieve, they will wish that they were Muslims. So some of the scholars said, the Mufassireen, this is at the time of death for the non-believer. When the angel of death comes towards them, they will wish that they were believers. They will wish that they were Muslims while they were alive on earth. And then other scholars said, it is on the day of judgment that they, because of the day of judgment and they understand that they were in the wrong, they will wish that they were believers. And other scholars said, the more accurate is that this will be in the hellfire, wal-'iyadu billah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather believers who were sinners and the disbelievers in the hellfire. So the kuffar will say to them, we didn't believe in Allah and that's why He put us here. But you were Muslims and He still put you here. But they don't know that they're only in the hellfire until it expiates their sins. And then anyone who says, La ilaha illallah, eventually leaves the hellfire. And so when they leave the hellfire, meaning the sinful Muslims are finally taken out of the hellfire, and there is no one left in it except for the non-believers, they will wish that they too were Muslims. Imam ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentions a story about a man, and he begins by basically making dua against the man. His name was Ibn Abdul Rahim. And he said this man was a mujahid, meaning he always sought out jihad and he was going from one battlefield to another. And constantly fighting against Ar-Rum. Ar-Rum would typically refer to the Europeans. So he said that in one of the battles, they had laid siege to a group of Rum. And he saw a beautiful woman peer over the wall of the fortress. So he asked her, كيف السبيل إليك؟ يعني how can I reach to you? How can I be with you? And she said, you will not be with me unless you become a Christian. So he became a Christian and she showed him a way into the fortress and he left the army of the Muslims and he stayed with that woman. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that the Muslims were very saddened and very distraught. And he was a hafiz of the Quran. He memorized the Quran. He was a mujahid and one of their friends, and now he left Islam because of this woman. And then they said that the siege, it was dismantled, and they moved on. And then years later, they came back, some of the believers, some of those mujahideen came back by that exact same fortress, and so they remembered him, and they began to call out to him, Ibn Abd al-Rahim. So he peered over the wall, and they asked him, what has become of your Qur'an? And he used to be a hafiz of your Qur'an. And what has become of your jihad? And what has become of your knowledge? And what has become of your salah? And what has happened to all that? So he cried. And he said, Wallahi, I have forgotten the entire Qur'an. Even Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, I have forgotten the entire Qur'an. But I remember one verse. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُ. So he said, that's the only verse I remember. This is the power of and the strength of the trial and the fitna of women. I'm not going to put a to-do list for everyone. Everybody knows what they need to do in their life. Everyone needs to know which boundaries they need to distance and sever to improve their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, to stay away from this fitna, whether it's on their phone, whether it's online, whether it's at work, whether it's in the classroom. We are far too relaxed with this. And wallahi, I didn't want to make this khutbah about horror stories. Horror stories from our youth, horror stories from married men, their wives complaining about what they catch them doing and what they've caught them with and all that stuff. We didn't want to make the khutbah about that. Just suffices to say that we should be wary and be cautious, and every one of us knows what they need to fix. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who hear the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize the falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم. حمدكم الله.